Please look with me to Luke chapter 3 for our word of the Lord for today. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am grateful to God today. I feel like praising him. I feel like giving him the glory, for he has done great things for us. Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 4, says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Lord, speak to us. We desire to hear a word from you on today. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit will say to the church on today. In the name of Jesus, help us, God, to clear out anything that's in our minds or on our hearts that will prevent us from hearing clearly what you are speaking to us today, so that when we leave this place, we will know that we have heard from you. And we declare that we will not only be hearers of the word, but doers also. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week I started reading a book called The Upside Down Kingdom. And this book, the author explores the kingdom of God and points to the fact that Jesus presents the kingdom of God in contrast to the kingdom of this world. And the kingdom of God inverts and it turns upside down our way of thinking and our way of life. He addresses the fact that the kingdom of God is so different from anything that we have ever conceived or thought about, that oftentimes it is confronted with anger and frustration. The whole reason that the Roman Empire, along with the religious of the Jewish community, conspired to crucify Jesus, to execute him, is because everything he said insulted them. It turned their world upside down. Yeah, it still happens today. That's why every time anybody in our culture, they can say whatever they want to say, but as soon as somebody who believes the Bible says something, they're ready to crucify us, and they're ready to call us all kinds of names. Why? Because the kingdom of God is so opposite to the kingdom of this world. The author presents this parallel where whatever is top priority in the kingdom of this world is low priority in the kingdom of God. And whatever is top priority in the kingdom of God is low priority in the kingdom of this world. Jesus flipped everything upside down. Jesus presents a kingdom that is full of surprises. When reading the Gospels, we go through the Gospels, we find that everything is upside down. Listen to what the Gospel says. The Gospel presents to us that people who we think are good are actually evil. People who we expect to receive rewards are actually rebuked by Jesus. People who we think are headed to heaven, Jesus says, you're on your way to hell. No wonder they crucified him. Jesus reversed everything. He reset expectations. He says that the greatest shall be the least. The first shall be the last. The sinner shall receive forgiveness and blessings. Adults must be like children. If you want to receive, you must give. And if you want to live, you must die. Jesus flipped it upside down. When Jesus comes, everything changes. Hear what I'm saying. When Jesus comes, everything changes. And it still happens today. If you have a real encounter with Jesus, everything in your life changes. It is a life-changing experience. Who you are and how you are changes when you have an encounter with the Lord. We used to say when I was growing up, mothers used to say, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and my feet did too. And I was confused for a moment because I knew I had an encounter with the Lord, but I went home and my hands looked the same. I took off my shoes and my feet looked the same, but my heart was different. The way I looked at the world was different. What I want to do with these hands changed. And where I want to go with these feet changed because I had an encounter with Jesus. It changed who I am and what I think is important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Anybody who has a real encounter with Jesus will change. Can I help you out? Do not get caught in the trap of trying to change people. Don't get caught in the trap trying to make people do better, trying to hunt people down and shake them with the Bible and beat it over their head, trying to get them to change. That's not your job. Your job is to get them to Jesus. Your job is to remove any obstacles that may be in their way to prevent them from having an encounter with Jesus. Because when you have an encounter with Jesus, everything changes. Can I just tell you for real? There is no way that you can meet the Lord, have an experience with God, and go back to your life the way it was before you met him. Am I in the right house this morning? You have not experienced Jesus if there is not a shift in your priorities when you meet him, because he is part of an upside down kingdom. When you meet Jesus, what was important to you is no longer important to you. You have a whole new set of priorities. What drives you, what pushes you, changes when you have an encounter with Jesus. Can I reveal something to you this morning? Every morning, every Sunday morning before I leave my office and I come out and join you in worship, one of the things that I pray is that something will be said or done during this service that will change who you are. That a little bit of you will change as a result of what you have heard in this place. That if there is a valley in your life, that valley would raise up a little bit because of what you heard. And if there are mountains in your life that are preventing you from experiencing God, I pray that that mountain gets a little lower because of what you've heard today. And I pray that if there are some crooked places in your life, and come on, all of us got some crooked places places in our life that need to be straightened out. I pray that you will hear something that will turn the needle just a little bit. And if you still have some rough places in your life, I pray that because of something that you hear here at this church, those rough places will be made smooth. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about having an encounter with God. I don't know about you, but I don't just come here because I grew up in the church. I came here because I want to have an encounter with God. I put my clothes on, came out in this cold and snow because I need an encounter with the living God. That's because I know that when I encounter him, everything will change. I pray that we hear words that will change our mind, that will change our approach, that will change the way we look at things, change the way we think about things, that will change what we do and why we do it. I pray that we will experience this upside down kingdom, that we are willing to rearrange our schedule, change our calendars, and do whatever we can do to be a part of this kingdom of God that is like nothing that we've ever experienced before. That is what I want for us, that every time we come together, we leave here different than how we were when we walked in here. But I realize something, that it doesn't happen just because I want it to happen. It doesn't even happen just because I pray that it will happen. It only happens to people who prepare the way of the Lord. What am I saying? It only happens to people who make room for God in their hearts. It only happens for people who come here and say, God, my heart is open, my mind is open, my spirit is open. Whatever you want to deposit in me, that is what I want. It only happens to people who are prepared for it. The Bible says, he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. I realize that it is easy to feed people who are hungry. People who are hungry are not particular about what they eat. People who are hungry will eat whatever you present to them. That's why I tell my children, if you don't like what we're having for dinner, don't eat. Because if you get hungry enough, you will eat what is prepared for you. So the writer here, he says, he quotes Isaiah. And it is John who was quoting Isaiah in this text. And he says that one will come speaking in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he will say, prepare a way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. The concept that he brings here when he quotes, prepare the way of the Lord, comes from the practice of the ancient kings who, when they were ready to expand their territory, they would send officers ahead of them to prepare the way. These officers would often go into wilderness territory, and they would have to move out debris, and they would have to make roads, and they have to move anything that will prevent the king and his caravan from being able to go through this new territory safely and easily without harm. He didn't just get up and leave, but they had to prepare a way for him. The spiritual indication in this context is that our hearts and our minds are a wilderness. Now, I know we don't want to think of it that way, so let me define what a wilderness is, and then I will do my best to convince you that there are still wildernesses and wilderness places in your hearts and your mind. All right, so a wilderness is an uncultivated place. It is a place that is not habitated. People don't live there. It's inhospitable. It's a rough place. There's no system in the wilderness. It's a dark place in the wilderness, and you cannot survive without the tools necessary to survive in the wilderness. Can I tell you that they will go into the wilderness and they would say, prepare a way for the king. It would announce that we are in this area to make room for the king to come through. Can I tell you, anywhere in your heart, any area of your life where Jesus is not king, meaning his word is not supreme, that is a wilderness. Any part of your thinking that goes against the knowledge of God is a wilderness. Any viewpoint that you have that is not in agreement with God is a wilderness. And I know we don't want to admit it because we've been in church all this time and we're looking holy and sanctified and well thought out this morning. But if we tell the truth, there are still parts of our minds and our hearts and areas of our life that are still a spiritual wilderness, because we have not prepared a way for God to come through. There's still some things that we say, I know what the Bible says, but you know what? Listen, you didn't have my mama, so I just gotta get over some things. I know what the Bible says, but you don't know my circumstances. You don't know my situation, and everybody is doing it. That is wilderness thinking. If you do it and you believe it because the majority of the folks agree with it, that is wilderness thinking. If you're willing to sacrifice what you know is true in God's word to be popular, that is wilderness thinking. If you're willing to let go of the principles of the faith because it's getting harder and harder to be faithful, that is wilderness thinking. And it stunts our growth. It prevents us from experiencing what God has for us. The other spiritual reflection in this passage of Scripture is that the Lord wants to invade our wilderness places. Here's what he says, prepare a way for the Lord. That means, first of all, that the Lord is coming. Oh, I need a church that's excited that the Lord is coming, that he's on his way. And the text says, prepare a way for him. Hallelujah. Make a straight, a clear, a smooth path for him to come. I want you to know that God wants to invade every territory in your life that currently is not occupied by him. I want you to know that it is God's plan to disrupt your entire life until you are fully engrossed in the kingdom of God. I want you to know that you are not here because you decided to be here. You are here because God's purpose and plan was for you to be here, because he wants to change your thinking. He wants to change your approach. He wants to introduce you into a kingdom that is full of surprises. The kingdom of God is full of surprises. But he says, prepare a way for him. The spiritual reflection in this text is also that we must prepare ourselves for God. If we want God to clear out the wilderness areas in our life, we must prepare a way for him. We must admit, and here's where we get in trouble, we must admit the possibility that our view is wrong. We must admit the possibility that in that situation, you weren't the victim. You were the villain. Don't stone me, y'all. You have to be willing to admit that it's possible that your approach was wrong. You have to be willing to admit that you have allowed the wilderness of unforgiveness and resentment and frustration to invade your heart, where you can't see clearly what God wants for you because you are in the wilderness of, look at what they did to me, look at how they treated me, look at how they stopped me, look at how they got in my way, look at all that has happened in my life. You're in this wilderness of worry and fear and doubt, and God is saying this morning, make way for me because I want to invade that territory in your life. I want to invade that territory. Let me share this with you. What God wants for you is much better than anything you could ever want for yourself. Y'all hear what I said? What God wants for you is better than anything that you could ever want for yourself. But if you want to experience it, you have to prepare yourself for him. That is why we are on this 21-day fast. Why? Because we want to clear out the debris in our lives that is keeping us from experiencing the fullness of God. We want to clear out the debris in our way of thinking and behaving and being so that we can know clearly what it is that God wants for us. On last Sunday night, for those of us who gathered for prayer, I said, my expectation is that at the end of this fast, we will be different than we were when we started the fast. My expectation is that the pastor that walks in here at the end of this fast is different than the one you had before this fast started. I want a clearer understanding, clearer perspective of what it is that God wants for us than I have right now. We have some decisions that we need to make, but we're not making any decisions until we clean out the debris that's in our hearts and our minds and make a clear path for the Lord to ride through here and establish his kingdom in our wilderness places. You want to know what God wants for you? You have to make a path for him. Because here's what we want. We want God to change the landscape of our hearts and our minds. We want what our life looks like to be very different. Listen to what the text says, what happens to the landscape when God shows up. Everything gets reversed. Valleys, which are low places, are brought up. Not only that, but when the Lord shows up, mountains that are high places are brought low. Hallelujah. That's why it doesn't matter how you come here. Doesn't matter what your issue is, whether you came here high or low. When Jesus gets a hold of you, if you are low, he brings you up. If you are high and arrogant, he brings you down. And we are all on the same level when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, there's nobody better, because it doesn't matter if you came here through the gutter or from the palace. When Jesus comes, we're all on the same level. He changes the landscape. Hallelujah to God. That's why we can sit in here today and we look different and feel different, came from different places and experiences in our life, but we met the one person, Jesus the Christ, who made all of us on the same level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. He says, I'm going to reverse your expectation. Not only that, but he changes the landscape where the crooked places are made straight. He says, I'm going to change it how you get through. I know there's some things in our life that need to be straightened out. And you don't have to raise your hand, but just wink at me. If you got a place in your life that is crooked and you need God to straighten it out. and you've been trying for years to get this thing straight, and every time you think you got it straight, it goes a little crooked. I come to tell you, when you make room for God, he can make the crooked place straight. Hallelujah to God. Oh, I feel him doing it right now for me. There's some crooked places. There's some crooked thinking. There's some crooked believing. There's some crooked viewpoints and behavior. And when the king comes, he makes it straight. He makes the crooked place straight. Look at the last part of the landscape. And we're almost done for the day. The last part of the landscape that changes. He says he makes the rough place smooth. Hallelujah to God. You know how it is when you ride on the road with a bunch of potholes, how frustrating that ride is. Some of us are going through life and we keep hitting these rough places, and it makes it frustrating. You know, when you're on a rough road, you can't go as fast as you can when it's smooth. When you're on the rough road, you got to be careful because you mess up your alignment. You have to get new tires. You have to be careful. It is difficult to travel when you're trying to go through a rough place. And God is saying in 2018, I am going to make your rough places smooth. Can I tell you, it's not always going to be this hard to get to your destination. Hallelujah to God. It's not always going to be all these curves and these bumps in the road. He says, if you are willing to make way for me, I'll make your rough places smooth. This week, I was praying during our fast, and I was asking God for something specific. And God has been really dealing with me about preparing myself for what I'm asking for. So I was praying something specific. And after I had prayed, pour out my petition before God, I put it all out there. I laid out before God everything that was on my heart. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, if I gave it to you today, are you prepared to manage it? Hear what I'm saying. If I gave you what you asked me for, if I did it today, are you prepared to manage it? And I didn't understand what he meant by that. So then the word came to me that said, and I had to write it down, said, what disciplines have you mastered so that you can manage what you are asking for successfully? Y'all catch that? He said, what disciplines have you mastered so that if God were to give it to you today, you wouldn't mess it up? We all have seen the stories where people receive things, but because they are not disciplined, in a month or so, they ruin the opportunity. You have a great sports career ahead of you, but you're not disciplined in your flesh, and so you lose the opportunity. Great business opportunity, but you're not disciplined in your finances, so you lose the opportunity. Great opportunity for ministry, but you're not disciplined in your spirit, so you mess up the opportunity. You're asking for something that you don't have the discipline to manage. So here is the time to develop the discipline needed to manage what you're asking God for. Then I had to ask myself, I said, do you even know what disciplines are needed to master what you're asking for? Some of us don't even know what it takes in order to do or receive or manage what we are asking God for. Here's my point. Favor of God comes to people who prepare themselves for it. The blessings of God, the movement and power of God in our lives come to people who make room for God in their life. Listen, if you don't ever have to cancel something or rearrange something or say no to something for the sake of the kingdom of God, then you haven't made enough room for God. Can I just offend you for one second? If you never, ever have to say no to something that's not a sin and you really enjoy for the sake of the kingdom of God, you have not made room for God. Can I tell you why? Because if you read through the Bible, one of the marks that God is with you and calling you and pushing you into something is when he changes everything that you have had planned. We got to read the Bible. He changes people's careers. He changes where they live. He changes how they think. He changes their family relationships. When you have an encounter with God, everything in your life will change. We want to walk in the favor of God. We want to be in the kingdom of God, but we don't want him to change our life. We want him to keep our little comfortable schedule. We want to keep on going on our vacations and doing everything that we do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But those of you who don't just want to be a church goer, those of you who don't just want to be a nice American Christian, but you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, you have to make room for God, which means you have to move some stuff out of your way, out of your life. You have to be willing to change your priorities. You have to make low what the world says is high and make high what God says is high if you want the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, I've been through too much. I've said no to too many things. I've given up too much to come over here and play with God. I want everything that belongs to the citizens of the kingdom of God. I want it all. If you are with me, clap your hands and say, I want it all. I want it all. I haven't given up the opportunities that I've had to make more money, live in a warmer climate. I didn't give all that up to be a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God because I want to hold on to the world and serve God at the same time. Come on, somebody, this year, you have to make up your mind that you are all the way in. I got to help somebody today. The season of neutrality is over. You cannot be neutral anymore. That day is past. You're going to have to decide either you want all of God or none of him. Jesus said, if you are not for me, you are against me. There's no such thing of saying, I'm not for God, I'm not against God. No, Jesus said, either you are for me or you are against me. And here's what he says, and I'll leave you with this. He says, those of you who make room for the kingdom of God, prepare the way of the Lord. He says, look at the text. He says, you will see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to see the salvation of the Lord. Now, this salvation here speaks of deliverance from harm and ruin and loss. It's a salvation that preserves us in the evil day. But it's not just this temporary deliverance from what the world can do, the harm that you experience from the world, but it's deliverance from the eternal consequences of sin. Hallelujah. It provides for us a place of security, knowing that we are a part of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God always wins, and we have prepared a way for God to invade every territory in our lives. Would you stand to your feet? Lord, I feel God speaking to somebody this morning. He says he wants to invade every territory in your life. Yes. He wants to go into that place where you said, God, this is me right here. This is my area right here. You can't have this area. God says, I want all of you. Y'all hear what I said? Didn't we sing a song this morning? Said, I give you all of me. Don't lie in the house of God. You know you can sing a lot, right? I'm not saying you did. I'm just making a point. If we want, but here's the thing. Not only you can say you want all of him, but that's not the good news. The good news, Lord have mercy. The good news is that he wants all of you. I know why we want him. I know why we want him. He has all power in his hand. He has all wisdom. There's nothing that he cannot do. He never loses. He always wins. He is comfort. He is joy. I know why we want him. What I don't understand is why he wants us. Lord have mercy. That I don't understand. But he does. Hallelujah to God. I don't care who rejected you in the past. I don't care who left you, who doesn't want you. The good news is God wants you. All of you. Hallelujah. And what he wants for you is better than anything you could ever want for yourself. Hallelujah. So he says, make room for me. Make room for me. One of the ways you make room for him is the same thing. If you need to make room for something in your house, you want to make room for something in your house, what do? You got to get rid of some stuff. Am I right? Now you want to make room in your closet, you got to get rid of some stuff in your closet. God is saying, make room for me by getting rid of some stuff. Some of y'all already know what you need to get rid of. God says, get rid of it. Sometimes you got to look at your calendar. Look at your schedule. Look at how you spend your days. How much room for God is on your calendar? Maybe you need to get rid of some stuff. Somebody told me a few years ago, I was doing a whole lot of stuff. They said, Tim, everything you are doing is good, but is it all God? Hear what I'm saying? Everything you're doing is good. It's good to be a part of these activities, and these activities are doing good things, but is it all God? In other words, are all of these the things that God wants you to do? Sometimes, I'm going to help somebody, you can be so busy doing good that you're not doing the one thing that God told you to do. And that means you're living in disobedience. But God, when we say, God, didn't I feed the poor? Didn't I do all this good? Yeah, but there was one thing I told you to do and you didn't do it. You were too busy to make room for me. God's trying to help us today. Some of us are stuck and we're wondering why we cannot move, we cannot make progress. And I'm telling you, because we have too much clutter in our life. I'm going to pray in a minute. I'm going to pray that God shows you what you need to get rid of out of your life to make room for him. Why? Because you got some crooked places he wants to make straight. Some rough places he wants to make smooth. Some valleys he wants to exalt. And some mountains he wants to bring down. Anybody got some mountains that you want God to bring down? He said he'll do it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for this opportunity that we have to come together and to hear a word from you. God, we thank you. Hallelujah to God. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is spoken to us today. God, help us to make room for you. In the name of Jesus. God, as we go throughout this week, God, show us the things that we need to remove out of our life that you consider debris. Oh, God, anything that is in our life that you feel is hindering us from experiencing all that you have for us, give us the grace to remove it in the name of Jesus. Lord, if we have a wilderness of unforgiveness and frustration and pain and anger, doubt and disbelief, hallelujah, God, invade that territory today in the name of Jesus. As we are fasting, as we are praying, we turn our hearts towards you and we say, God, cultivate in our hearts a place that can receive your word and produce the fruit that your word is intended to produce. Let our hearts be good ground. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that we are changed today as a result of what we have heard. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you just lift your hands and ask God to change you? Yeah. Yeah, ask for a change today. Hallelujah. Change my mind, God.